trumpet sound is a sound that get ready for battle. But if someone's over there playing on a harp, that's not going to get people ready for battle. You know, it's just an uncertain sound. So it's, to me, it's got to be words to be easy to understand. So in 1 Corinthians 14:8-9, he says, or in verse 9, he says, words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? You're just speaking into the air. So you got to make it easy and clear to understand. So this message will be presented to you with words easy to be understood. I want to be as clear as I possibly can. But first of all, I want to talk about to you about my first birth. My first birth. For those of you who don't know, I was born. It happened 53 years ago on August 9th in 72. That was my first birth. And I was born into this world physically. I was sent to a Catholic school and a preschool in preschool times and kept there till the end of fifth grade. Started public school in sixth grade and really had no idea that knowing for sure you're going, where you're going when you die could be possible, could be a true reality. They didn't make it clear. In fact, that's because they didn't know. They don't know. So I was taught tradition. Stand up, kneel, confess your sins, put holy water on your forehead, genuflect, ashes on your forehead, sign in the sign of the cross, and the list goes on. But in all of that, I was still lost. In fact, I didn't even know I was missing anything. You see, I always believed in God. I believed there was a God, and this was his creation, and I knew Jesus died on the cross. That was sad. That's kind of the way they make you feel. And that's all I knew. I was told to try and keep the Ten Commandments the best I could, and if I messed up, there's a confessional in the back of the church that you can come on special days to get right with God. But I did want to go to heaven when I died, but nobody had ever told me about Jesus Christ and how his plan of salvation worked. Most of the time, people are using it as a swear word. It wasn't until a brave Christian challenged me to think about it differently and explained it to me. I remember where I was standing when it all clicked together and I got saved. I don't remember the exact date, but that date, whatever that date was, in the fall of 2008, I believe, was the date of my second birth. This would be my first birth, and this would be my second birth, and so that's what we're going to go through. So I was born spiritually on that date. God indwelt me, as he does with all believers. I didn't even know that it was a thing that was a part of it. I didn't feel my hair swoosh in the wind or see a bright light. And a lot of people need to know that, too. I've heard people I witnessed to say, oh, I saw a bright light. Well, I don't know where you got that from. But I was indwelt with his Holy Spirit once I believed and trusted Christ as my Savior. So I trusted Christ as my Savior, and now I wanted to do something with my life, and I didn't know what to do. See, I needed the proper information to make that decision. I had never been given that, and sadly, most people aren't. And it became apparent after a while that I couldn't know the will of God until I knew the Word of God, and my will became to read and learn the Word of God so I could know the will of God for my life. And after reading his Word, it became apparent to me I wanted to be a soul winner. I wanted to tell people how to get to heaven. It was possible even for a guy like me to do. After ingesting his word and the clarity of it illuminated me to realize that there are so many lost people out there, I didn't want them to go to hell. I wanted to figure out how to save them because I saw that Jesus had provided them the same gift he provided me. I just had to figure out how to get it to them, get them to believe it. I didn't want people to go to hell. I wanted them to know the Lord. And so I saw Yankees wallet trick, and I wanted to learn that and to be effective using that to tell people how to have eternal life. It made the gospel clear. So we need to understand that if our messages are not true and clear, our people's salvation and service will be overshadowed with a great cloud of doubts, and that will produce an unstable, confused, and frustrated congregation. Many people do not know the truth of the gospel. If there's anything we're going to get right in this world, it ought to be on how to get to heaven. There's not going to be a rerun or a second time through this thing. We got one trip through this thing. Once you're dead, you're dead. So you're either in heaven or hell, but you're going to have to make a decision before you die. So that's why it's important to realize what the Bible does say. And so he says in 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, God meant what he said. It makes it clear. But he said, for if he that cometh preacheth another gospel, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And so you must realize that there are false teachers and false preachers in false churches everywhere out there, and so you ought to know that. And the thing about getting our message out is not the same as getting it across. We can holler, rant, and rave all we want to, but sometimes people don't understand what we're saying. They don't get the message. They hear it, but they don't hear. And so that's why we want to make sure they understand this. Our gospel is not clear just because we know what we said. It's clear when the lost person understands what we said. Because we can truly speak in terms that we fully understand, but the lost man doesn't understand it. So the gospel of perfection is the message I want to talk to you about as clearly as I possibly can, if I can speak. And so he says in Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What are we obeying? It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's obeying the gospel. It's like, believe that Christ died on the cross and paid your sin debt for you. He was made perfect. He was God in the flesh. He came into the world for you. And eternal salvation must be a perfect salvation. For example, here I am. I'm a sinner, right? I'm going to hell. I hear the gospel, but I find out also that heaven is a perfect place. God is perfect, and to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. So how do I get from here to there if you got to be perfect to be with God in a perfect place and I'm not perfect? So the salvation that we tell people must make a person perfect when he trusts Christ as Savior, or it doesn't do him any good. It's not trying to get on a ramp so I can live better or be better. It just won't work any other way. And so talking about Jesus Christ, he was made perfect. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the only way you can have eternal salvation is the salvation must be perfect. Because if it's not perfect, it doesn't last. So if perfection were by keeping the law, then you wouldn't have had a need for somebody else to come along and make another payment, right? And so they had to make another payment and another payment and another payment continuously in the Old Testament. And so therefore, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood or by trying to keep the law, then there would have been a need for a never-dying high priest. There would have been no need for a Christ if keeping that Old Testament law did make you perfect. It didn't. If perfection were by the old Levitical priesthood, there would have been no need for Christ. We wouldn't need him. If a man could save himself, you don't need Christ. He died in vain if righteousness came by the law. So in Hebrews 7:11-16, it says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Because of Christ, he had an endless life. He could make one payment for sins, one time, forever, and all sins would be paid for. Now get this in mind. Christ is not going to come back next week to pay for the sins, what I did this week. When Christ died on that cross, he paid for all my sins. So when the law was not able to make anybody perfect, the law was given to show us that we're not perfect and never can be. No man has ever kept the law, never will keep the law, because the law is perfect and man is not. A man cannot keep it. So it is to let us know we cannot save ourselves by our works. So the law made nothing perfect. No one was perfect. But it is evident that something else did. And by the way, Christ kept the law perfectly.
Yes.
So that's the one thing, you know, it's just not brought up a lot. But for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The sacrifices under the law could not and did not make those that did the service. It didn't make them perfect. Which was a figure for the time then present in which we were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. The sacrifices under the law could not and did not make those that did the service. It didn't make him perfect, and neither does it make the person who they did it for perfect. It didn't make them perfect either. So whether they did the service or whether they were receiving the service, the law did not save anybody. What I'm telling you is this. How you live does not determine your destination. How you live cannot give you salvation. When you see Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved, that means not according to how you live. It is a gift from God. That means it's not according to how you lived. If you're saved by grace, that means it's not according to how you lived. Not of works means it's not according to how you lived. When the Bible tells us if we want to understand grace, if you only understood John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's grace. That he gave his only begotten son, that's grace. That whosoever, open invitation, that's grace. That whosoever believeth in him, that's grace. And then he gives you two things as a result of your faith. He says if you believe it, you shall not perish, means you can't go to hell, but have everlasting life, means you can go to heaven. This is all so that I can know you're going to heaven before you ever die. I have known for 18 years that I was going to heaven. I have eternal life, not temporary life, but I have eternal life. Now the Bible says the law could not save anybody. Now continue where some of my favorite verses are in chapter 10 of Hebrews. The one sacrifice of the new covenant is superior to many sacrifices in the old covenant. Beginning in Hebrews 10:10, and this word sanctified you, see here in verse 10, the Greek word is hagiazo, meaning to be made pure and holy and set apart. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How are you sanctified? Not by works, but through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When Christ died, his body paid for all the sins of all the world one time, and he never has to do it again. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. And then he makes this statement in verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And in verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has perfected forever them that are pure and holy and set apart because they trusted Christ as their Savior. Now understand this. You can't know you're going to heaven until you know you can't go to hell. It's impossible for me to go to hell if I tried. Now I haven't tried. Now the reason is this. Everyone has heard that Christ died on the cross and paid for their sins of all the world. Now you think if he died on the cross and paid for all the sins of all the world, why should I have to go to hell and pay for my own sins if he already paid the sins, paid for my sins? It's like me trying to take you out to lunch and I pay the check, and then you get up and say, you know what, I'd like to pay the check all over again. Why would you do that? If he died to pay for my sins, not some of them, not most of them, all of them, when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, I wasn't even born, but he died for me. And that means he paid for my sins before I ever committed them. That means he paid for my sins in advance, and it means that all my sins, from the time I was born until the time I die, he paid for all of them. So whether I trust Christ as my Savior when I'm 5 years old, 10 years old, or 50 years old, or 85 years old, they've already been paid. So when I accept the payment he made for them, then I have a payment for all my sins. And so God forgives me because he paid for them, and if I've been forgiven, it's like I have never committed to them at all. So that's how I know I'm going there, because I know that I have no sins to pay for. That's why I can't go to hell today. I can't go to hell tomorrow because I have no sins to pay for. Christ died for my sins. Either he did it or he didn't. Now, I believe that's why he says in 1 John 5:13, he says, "These things have I written unto you that obey the Ten Commandments, obey the Golden Rule, and go to Greg's church." Right? No, he doesn't say that. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, here's a tough question. Eternal life, I wonder how long it's supposed to last. Last forever, right? So he says, "He that believeth on me hath," present tense, right now, "everlasting life." So if you've got everlasting life and Christ paid for all my sins, where am I going to go when I die? Right? I couldn't go to hell if I tried. Okay, now over to Romans 3. I'm going to get into some stuff I really want you to understand, so don't go to sleep on me just yet. Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So don't think you got to be good to go to heaven, because there is no good heaven. There's only a perfect heaven, and you got to be perfect to get there. But you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. So how in the world are we going to get to heaven? I'm so glad you asked. Since we've all sinned, we're all going to die. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we all die because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's going to be hard to get out of this life alive unless the Lord comes back and takes us in the rapture, not rupture. Now get this, because you hear this a whole lot. None are the children of God. Some people say we're all the children of God. No, we're not. It's tough for some people to understand that, because it's been pounded into their brains since they were children. Romans 9:8 says, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. None inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Now look up here. I want to use an illustration. This arm, my right arm, is my flesh birth. I do a wallet illustration this way, so I'm going to reverse this. This is my flesh birth. This was when I was born into the world, and that's why we call it a flesh birth. I was there. I remember. First thing I remember was I was behind bars hitting a bottle. Right? So this is my first birth, which is born in the flesh, and the Bible says we are born with a sinful nature, which means that you sin naturally. Nobody has to teach you how to sin, in case you didn't know that. You learned it all on your own. It's natural. Mom asked me, "Did you crayon on that wall?" Nope, sure didn't. Yeah, I was lying before I even knew what a lie was. And so because we have this nature, we sin. And because we sin, we have to die. We are a corruptible seed. That came from a corruptible seed. And we can only pass on a corruptible seed. So because of that, God says, you need to be born again. See, this is my problem. God says these are the children of the flesh, are not the children of God. You're not a child of God because you're born into the world. He says, he's your God and your creator, but he's not your father, and you're not his child. So that means you cannot save yourself. God says it's not of works. Not of works means you can't work it off. He says, by grace are you saved, which means by grace are you saved. Not of works, you can't save yourself. That is why Christ came into the world. And what he did was he said, you must be born again. You must be born again from above. Jesus said in John 3:3, when talking to Nicodemus, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if I was to be born again and again and again 100 times, the last one wouldn't be any better than the first one. So God says, you need to be born from above. Wouldn't it be neat if I could have another time to do this, have a new birth and be born this time, though, without a sinful nature? Now, if I could get born without a sinful nature, it means it wouldn't sin. And now many people never get this. So if you could get what I'm saying in the next 15 minutes, you'll understand some things that most people never get. So Jesus said in verse 3, "Unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And in verse 5, he says, "Unless you're born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." What does that mean? So you can't see it. You can't get there unless you're born again. So what the world is doing is trying to get this lost man to turn from his sins. You can't turn from your sin. It's in him. It's his nature. It's on the inside. You can't turn away from it. To tell a man to turn from his sin is works for salvation. And we know from Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and many other places that you can't do that. You're trying to get this man to live a perfect life, and he can't live a perfect life. I don't care how hard he tries. Now get this straight. You don't tell this man to commit your life to Christ, because that means you got to promise to serve God. So you don't get a lost man saved by telling him to stop bad things, telling him to turn from sin. And so you don't get a lost man saved telling him to stop being bad, telling him and turning from his sin. And you don't get him saved by telling him to be good and make Christ the Lord and master your life. It won't work. You can't do either one. You must be born again. Here Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, in John 3:6. So the day I trusted Christ as my Savior, 36 years ago, I already had my flesh birth. I still got it. That's what you see. When I look out there, that's all I see is flesh birth. I can't see your spiritual birth. See, I know you had one, but I don't know if you had two, because the second one is a spiritual birth, and I can't see it. This arm represents my flesh birth, and this arm represents my spiritual birth. I was born into God's family. Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. For by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not of the flesh. I can't do anything with the flesh. It is the gift of God, not of works. It's not of the flesh, lest any man should boast. There's nobody that can boast that they've gotten into heaven because of what they've done. This one can't produce this one. You must trust Christ as your Savior, but you've got to have a reason why you're doing that. See, because you can't perform. You're never going to be good enough to go to heaven. You'll never stop enough sins. It doesn't matter how sincere you are or your desire. You'll never be able to accomplish it. So that's why if I asked you today, where are you going when you die? Well, I hope you're going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven. If you hear that, well, that's not too good. A bellhop took Yankee's luggage into his room one day, and he asked him where he was going when he dies. He said, I hope I'm going to heaven. He explained the gospel in 3 minutes and said when he asked him the next day in the lobby where he was going to heaven when he died, he replied, Yankee said, I'm going to heaven. Yankee says, well, how do you know? He said, Christ paid for all my sins. So it doesn't take long to explain the gospel if you leave out all the other junk, and that a man does not have to do. So in Romans 11, he says it's either by grace or it's by works. I had a hard time memorizing this verse when I first got saved. It's a tongue twister. He says, and if by grace, then there's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's either by grace or it's by works. It can't be both ways, not even a little bit of both. You don't mix any works into the gospel of grace. It's one way or the other. So you are saved by grace, and so you will not find one verse that says you are saved by your works anywhere in God's Word. You won't find a verse in the Bible that says you're saved by how you live. And it was told to me all my life that if you do that, you're going to go to hell. I didn't know anything about how to go to heaven. Nobody had ever witnessed to me till Billy Holloway came along. Nobody had ever told me about the good news of how to go to heaven when I die. See, if you have to earn it, you can't know where you're going. But if it's free, you can have it, because it's a gift from God. So he says in John 1:12, he says, but as many as have received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become a child of God. You become a child of God, you are born into God's family when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to make him your Lord and Savior. No, Lord means you got to promise to serve him. No, you don't. You accept him. You accept that he is the Lord. He is. That is who he is. I don't make him Lord. I don't make him Savior. That's simply who he is. But I wanted him to be my Savior, so I trusted him as my Savior. And God gives me as a free gift everlasting life. See, that is how you are born into the family. So now I have two natures. The flesh birth is my first birth, and then 36 years later, my second birth, my spiritual birth. My first birth in the flesh is sinful. My second birth is special. This one is a child of God. It is born from God. If it's born from God, it does not have a sinful nature. Or does God have a sinful nature? No, of course not. So then God can't give me a sinful nature. So then I finally got my new birth without a sinful nature, and if it has no sinful nature, it cannot sin. If it cannot sin, it cannot die. If it cannot die, how long would I be a child of God?
Forever.
Forever and ever, right? But understand this, I have two births. I have one that's 53 years old. I got a new one that's 18 years old, both living inside this same body. Now, I didn't get my new body yet to go with my new birth. Keep this in mind. If the wages of sin is death, now God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If the wages of sin is death, you can't get your new birth until you get the death of your old birth, the old man. So when Christ died on the cross, he didn't die for the new birth. He died for the old birth, my first birth, in order that I can have a new birth. So if the wages of sin is death, he had to die, pay for my sins I owed, but I didn't have to wait until I died to get the new birth. He indwelt me the day I trusted him. He said, I'll give it to you now if you believe that what I did for you. I said, Lord, I believe it. I have eternal life. I am a child of God. I am going to heaven whenever I die. Now get this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, which is, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The one was of corruptible seed. That's why, that's why you sin and why you're going to die. This one is born from God. It has no sinful nature. It's born by the word of God. It's incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long?
Forever.
Forever. So this birth means God saves you, gives you eternal life, and now you're his child forever, and it can never be undone. That's why when God says in John 3:18, whenever you trust him as your savior, you are not condemned because he or she believes and shall not in the future ever be condemned. Because that's why God says here, it's he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned when? Already, right? Because he didn't do the believing, because he hasn't believed yet on the name of the Son of God. So you have passed from death to life. So I got my new birth now. So the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. And if you have to be perfect to get to heaven, I am. So in God's family, I have eternal life because Jokimir has been born twice. This is me. So he says of the flesh, for all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. In 1 Peter 1:24. In other words, all the flesh dies. That's why we die, because of sin. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's why we tell people, right? We're all like trauma room surgeons, you know, in New York City on a Saturday night. But in comparison to the previous verse, he says, but the flesh dies. But in verse 25, he says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, Yankee tells the story of him witnessing to people as soon as he got saved. And he was really new at doing this, so he runs into his first victim. And he says, are you saved? The man replies, yes, I am. He says, to Yankee, are you saved? Yes, I am. So he says, have you been born again? Yankee says, yep, I've been born again. He says, do you still sin? Yankee says, yes, I do. He says, well, then you're not saved. Yankee says, yes, I am. The man says, no, you're not. Yankee says, yes, I am. The man replies, no, you're not. Then guess what Yankee said? Yes, I am. So Yankee says he was about ready to send this guy to the moon. He said he was so mad. And the man said, don't you believe the Bible? Yankee said, every word of it. And he admits that he didn't have a good grasp of anything yet because he was just a babe in Christ and just recently saved. So the man goes to his truck and opens up his Bible, and he opens up to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, which says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Yankee looked up and says, are you born again? Yankee says, yes, I am. Do you still sin? Yes, I do. So he walked away mad. He wasn't mad at the guy. He was mad at God. He thought, God, why did you put that verse in there? You know that verse doesn't belong in the Bible. God, you know I believe, but if I've got to be honest, you know I still sin, right? He admits it. And everybody in this room is just the same as me. You still sin and you know it. But he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. How do you figure that verse out? Which one of these is born of God? This one, right? It's not of the flesh. The spirit is born of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He has no sinful nature. His seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. My new nature is from God. It cannot sin. So there's two Greek words in the Bible that's for sin or commit. They're praso and poeo. Praso means practice or habitually commit sin. Poeo is one single act. The verse used here is poeo, meaning the spirit birth you received cannot commit one single act of sin because it can't. It's from God and it cannot sin. That's why you can never be condemned today or tomorrow or at any other time in the future, because this nature, this new nature you have, has no sins to pay for. And Christ already paid for all the sins of the flesh. That's what sets you free from the curse of the law and the sinful nature and death. You're free from that. Now that I'm free, God lets me make a choice. If I can choose to, I can choose to be an obedient child of God or a disobedient child of God, but I am still his child. That's my new position in Christ. When you were lost, you were seen by God as in the flesh. When you were saved from above, you were seen by God as in the spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his, right? If he didn't get born again, then all I got is this, which doesn't get me anywhere. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not his child. I'm his child because I got the Holy Spirit. I got him on the day I was born into God's family after putting my faith in Christ 18 years ago, and he said he'd never leave me, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me to teach me his word. He says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So we all have the teaching of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. The Lord is more real to me than the clothes I have on my back. That's what he means when he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So now God sees me in a new position. I'm his child. I'm going to heaven when I die. That does not mean when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to do any of those bad things anymore. We're going to talk about that. And if you witnessed enough, you've heard people say, well, if what you're saying is true, then that means you can just go out here and do all these bad things and still go to heaven. What they mean to say is, you mean to do those bad things and get away with it? Oh, no. Yep. You may never go to hell, but you can still go to jail. So now there's a conflict. This one is perfect. This one is not. There's the will of God and there's the will of man. And the biggest struggle is this war going on in the inside of you. So the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh, so that you can't do the things that you want. I want to serve God. No, you're not. I'm going to live for the devil today. No, you're not. So back and forth you go. You're at war inside you. Just because you got saved doesn't mean that you still don't have that same lust that you always had. That will is present with you. You still have your old sinful nature because you're still walking around in this flesh and blood body. Remember this, God did not change your old man. You still have that same old sinful lust, desires, and you're capable of every sin in the book. You can commit any sin the lost man can commit because here is the old man and you still have him. That's why you can still get filled with anger and bitterness and jealousy and envy and lust and gossip. So there's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And that's why Paul says in Romans 7:15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He's saying, I want to do good, but this is what I hate. He says, I'm doing it. Well, who's doing it? It's this guy who's doing it. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So you've got right there in the Bible, it's like, am I condoning it? No, but I'm saying Paul's acknowledging it. There it is, right? You can see it with your own eyes. Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Right? That remains in you. Ain't that clear? When I want to do good, evil is present with me, because he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And he says, how to perform that which is good? He says, how do I do this? Evil is present with me. The good that I would, I do not. So in John 5:24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And that's right now, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This one here can't walk after the flesh. It can only walk after the Spirit. That's why there's no condemnation in him. He can never be condemned in the future. That's why when I trust Christ as my Savior, he gave me a new birth. He became my Father, and my new birth does not sin. It can't walk after the flesh. You say, well, how about those bad things that you've done, you've been doing? He did it. And you still have a sinful nature, if you're honest, but a lot of people deceive themselves and won't admit that they still got a mind that is still corrupt. And so if you want to change some stuff, renew your mind. Paul was keenly aware of the two natures we possess. That's why he says in the book of Galatians, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It means you still have the lust of the flesh, everyone in here. But if you walk after the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit teach you the Word of God and walk according to the Scriptures, it does not mean float through the air. It means feed the one that you wish to serve. Because the flesh is lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you could not do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, if the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulsions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh does not inherit the kingdom of God. This guy's not going. He's not a child of God. And all those bad things that Christians can still do. But it wasn't my new birth. It was the old man. And the old man can't inherit the kingdom of God. Some people try to tell you, hey, if you do all those bad things, you can't go to heaven. That's not what it said. It says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if you don't, you will. So if you don't put God first, study his word, and walk after the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God can do three things for you. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:30, he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. The fruit of the Spirit that's over here is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. An attempt to walk in the flesh is an attempt to mock God. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. If you, as a child of God, you decide you think you can just live like the devil and get away with it, go ahead. You can live like you please. God's desire for you is to please, for it to please you to live to serve the Lord. That's what he wants it to do. He wants it to be pleasing to you to serve him. It doesn't force you to. Now I read my Bible because it pleases God. I go to church because it pleases God. I witness because it pleases God. But I could change my mind. But I'm still going to heaven when I die because this birth is still a child of God. And God knows those that are his. These are not the children of God. But now you have two births, and God has been good to us, and you can do what you want. But understand, this is what is happening inside you. I pray you all got this message and all got what I'm trying to show you this morning. Hope I made it clear. I think Yankee's really a whole lot better at this than I am, but he's been doing it a lot longer. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. It's rightly dividing the word of truth and illustrating it in a way I hope you understood. It's comforting to me to know that I have two natures. So thank you all for your patience. And if you didn't get a copy of all the verses we covered, it may help you in witnessing to somebody, because a lot of people don't understand. You still got these two natures living with inside you. So, I think, there's some things that we need to talk about for the members of Christian Bible Church. If you want to stick around for a minute, got some new information about the insurance company and whatnot. If you got a minute to stick around. So thank you all for your patience. Have a wonderful week. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll close with a hymn. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for those fantastic soul winners like Yankee and all the men that have gone on before us. I pray, Lord, that you use our generation to keep it going, and so that we can be men of God and train others and help them just follow in their footsteps. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Be with each one here this morning and their families and their health issues and all of our prayers that we brought to you this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for loving on us the way you do. Yes. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, where are we at? We're going to be on page 453.
Perry, Ohio.
He keeps me singing in Perry, Ohio.
Small five verses.
Oh boy.
Do we know this one?
Is this a trial run?
Yeah.
Four fifty-three.
Let's see.
What are we doing here?
Okay.
What verses?
First and last, yeah.
First and last, all
right. Find it in the list here. Okay, here we go.
There's a hymn of melody, Jesus' whisper sweet and low. Fear not, always make me be still, in my life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, in His hands I go. Soon to come back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall win a part in worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
That was pretty good.
Hey, we yeah, I know that.
Like
we
that. Yeah.
We
yeah, good
one.
Job, everybody. I'm signing you guys all up for the choir.
Oh, here he comes.
I got one. Oh,
he's such a handful. Hey, Patchy. Patrick.
I'm coming through.
He probably is. He got himself here. Hey, Mama. Hey.
Amber, have a good week.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, dude.
I have the checkbook. I'm giving it to you. What's different? You know? Right? Right.
Kind of explain to me what's going on. I'm down for it, whatever.
Yeah, so they're gonna, so the church will cost $600 for the mail they had. So, they're just gonna set up a check the whole thing. And so, all I've heard so far is that,
Yes.